listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 122. Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the he's fully fucking dressed, y'all, because he's cold, John Brownstone.
Damn straight. Freaking Florida winter. I know. Won't let go.
No, holds on forever. Says, give me more, yeah, babe. Oh, wait, what are we talking about? We've got a show.
Do the intro.
We're doing a show.
Do the damn intro.
This week, we're talking about a thing that can hurt any relationship, kinky or not, and that's complacency. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, or on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1. That's us on Instagram. I fucking hate it. It's not that cold. If y'all could just see him, y'all. If y'all could just see him. All links are in the show notes.
Like Kenny. From South Park.
Yeah, he keeps dying. Does he die and come? Did they stop doing that?
I don't know.
I watched it for years.
Oh, and, my God, they've killed Kenny.
And then he was back, but yeah. I'm outside the age demographic now, so I don't actually pay attention. Okay, we're way off track.
Yeah.
Anybody new is wondering what the hell they have come across. And while we say, welcome to the show, we also say, we'll be gone for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So I am going to start with announcements.
Okay.
I think I've given up the ghost on that. We just have fucking announcements. It's just what we do.
Right.
Okay. So yes, we are on hiatus after this week for two Fridays, and then we'll be back at the last Friday of March, whatever that day is. Every time I say a date on an episode, I find out later by Twitter that I was wrong about the date. I'm not going to say numbers anymore. Whatever the last Friday in March is, that's when we'll be back.
Yes.
And that will be episode 123.
Correct.
And that makes my OCD heart kind of happy because it's 123. It's the little things. It is the little things. Okay.
But so it's an odd number.
It is an odd number, but it's a number, and I'm sure there's a term for it out there, and anybody who knows it should tell me when it's a sequential number.
See,
like
my OCD doesn't allow for odd numbers.
Well, my OCD's happy, and that's really all that matters.
That's why you always get an even number of smacks.
I'm okay with that, because my kinky OCDs, we have gone way off topic. Okay. And this is how it starts. I tell him, we only have so much time to record, and then I have to go off to do the next thing, and then we're already lost. Okay. Next announcement for our kinky fuckery level paid members of the Loving BDSM community. This Saturday, I wrote it down as March 10th. If the number is not right, but I did write it down. I checked the calendar. It's Saturday, y'all. It's Saturday. March, we think, 10th at 8 p.m. Eastern time is the submissive meeting.
Yes.
So if you're a kinky fuckery paid level member of the Loving BDSM community and you identify at any point, not all the time necessarily, but at any point as a little less, then you are welcome to this. I don't know what we're talking about yet, but that's okay.
The 10th is Saturday.
Yay. Thank you for double checking for me. Next announcement. It's March. It's almost mid-March. And we have started our next kinky book club book and discussion, and you are leading the discussion this month.
I posted questions yesterday.
Yes, the book we're reading is
A Life Less Monogamous.
Yes, by Cooper S. Beckett. I accidentally read the sequel before I read the first one.
So did
And the
I.
sequel was wonderful.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. You have to be a member of the community, and you can join at the free level, in order to participate in the forum discussion. Once you're a member, you can request to join the actual group, the Kinky Book Club group. And in there, you get special treats and special stuff. Like, I have a coupon code for book club members to get Cooper Beckett's books at a slight discount. So if you haven't bought your book yet, you join the community, you join the group, ta-da, you get fun stuff for joining.
Well, even though I read them in reverse order, I read the sequel first.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The first book did not disappoint.
I didn't think it would. And it was what I was about half, really, truly halfway through the book. And I went, I think this might be a sequel. But it was so well written that
it stood on its own.
Yeah. You got enough from the interaction. You kind of understood what must have happened before. And that was enough. So, yeah. John Brownstone is really good at leading book club because he always finishes the book on time. Other people do not, but we're not gonna talk about other people. We did publish our very first contributor piece this week.
Yeah.
And it is a wonderful read about from Julie Nispel. She's a trans woman. It's her perspective of being DS in the trans community and how many trans women are submissive, even when they, for different reasons, play the part of a dominant. And I don't mean play the part like they're acting. I mean, like, sometimes there are switches and sometimes, you know, somebody brings out their dominant energy or they make good money or hopefully decent money, you know, with dominant energy, but they don't get to sort of express their submissive energy very often. And there's a lot of stereotypes that if somebody is a trans woman and kinky, they must be dominant. And of course, we know intellectually that's not true, but stereotypes persist.
True.
And so it was our very first contributor piece. It's excellent. Totally worth a read. I think everybody should go read it. And then find Julie on Twitter and tell her how wonderful she is, because she is. So we did that too.
Yeah.
I did not blog on Wednesday for Loving BDSM.
No.
Partly because I ran out of time in the day. There's really just so many hours in the day. But also because the topic we're discussing today is another side of a topic we have talked about multiple times. We've come at it from different angles. So in the past, we've talked about it like, okay, when you are sort of forced by your circumstances to live a more vanilla life for a while and the DS kind of has to, it's in the ebb instead of the flow, or vanilla life just gets in the way, or there's all these reasons where you have to kind of put it down and not really be able to do as much or be as active. Today's topic, and the reason we're talking about it, so let me tell you all the backstory here. So we get this lovely message from a listener who says, okay, here's my situation, please, any advice? And it's funny, it's happening. It's taking longer to reply to emails. Like, I want to reply to them within a day or two, and it's taking longer. So by the time I was ready to sit down and for us to talk about how we could answer this question, because definitely needed a dominance perspective in the answer, the person had already come across other things that we offer, which was kind of cool, 30 days of DS and our checklist and stuff like that. And it started maybe trying to answer these questions using the tools and resources, but we still had an opinion.
Sure.
And so we're discussing the message that we got and the information we were given. And I want it known and on the record right now that John Brownstone went on a rant. Not at the person who sent the message, not at all.
No.
It was, we started talking about it and it, like, one part of it led to another part of it and we were in like a totally separate conversation at that point. And John Brownstone went on a Kayla rant. And
I don't believe you.
I know, I wish I was recording it when
you
it
see,
happened.
You don't have proof.
Oh no. And I don't know if we can repeat it, but I told him, I said, okay, I say this with all respect and submissiveness. Stop talking. I need you to hold that thought. This is perfect for an episode. And so there we are.
And here we are.
And here we are. So yes, we were able to answer the email from the listener. Hopefully some of the insight we provided, you know, helped a little bit, but truly by the time we'd even gotten to that point, they had already started looking at different resources, and hopefully we'll get the answers they need. In their specific situation, it was about being drawn to submissive partners and having like great submissive sex,
right?
But it never getting, you know, it dying out eventually and things not progressing. And based on what we were told, which is, you know, only ever one little part of a situation, our first response was, y'all didn't negotiate. You were dominant. They were submissive to you. Yes, but it doesn't sound like you negotiated anything. So, of course, those things don't, won't always last long term if you don't have set parameters and set expectations and both parties don't really know what they're supposed to be doing. But complacency happens even when you do have that.
Sure. It happens to us. It's a fact of life. You cannot avoid it. I think what you need to do is you need to be aware of it when it happens.
Or be aware that something doesn't feel right. We had a separate message come in from another listener, and God, I don't remember the platform anymore. I just remember the message. And they even said that listening to a past episode made them realize that they had felt off. They knew something wasn't right, but we all tend to do this, especially if we're busy or we maybe just really don't want to know what might not be right. We kind of shrug it off and go, And then one topic we must have discussed kind of helped her kind of go,
Jogged a thought.
And what the message we got from that particular listener was, yeah, I knew something. We felt off. And then once we discussed it and I figured it out, okay, and that makes more sense. So I think we know. Sometimes it's not that we... I think we always know if we're really in tune with each other. We know when something's not quite right. But it also depends on where you're at with what's going on in your life. Like right now, with me working... What was yesterday? A 15-hour day?
Yeah.
15-hour days trying to get ready for another thing coming up for a four-hour trip. And I'm just trying to... There's no way I would... You could... There's no way my brain would go, you know what I need to do right now? I need to stop and have an hour-long conversation about my relationship with my daddy. Could I? This is not going to happen.
Sorry.
Now... Would it be a good thing to do? Is it ultimately more productive if you get certain, if you fix things that aren't quite right, so then they can move forward more seamlessly? Of course they are. Yeah. Would it maybe even clear my mind if I were to do something like
that? There's a good chance of that,
yeah. Of course it would. But that's the nature of life. We get so busy with other things. We have other things in front of us that we're, goals right. we're trying to accomplish, or things we're just trying to get through, or just sometimes we're just trying to get through the damn day. And we think, I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. I'll deal with that later. And then what, it goes a number of different ways. For us, we end up dealing with it. We've gotten better at that part, but we will sometimes get to the point where we are barely touching, we're barely speaking, not in anger.
It's never out of anger.
It's just not our normal way.
It's not our normal way, but you know, as she said, things happen. For her working a 15-hour day, and I know when she's working like that, I do try to stand back and leave her be to have her space, because I know the more I interrupt her, you know, or I could say, baby girl, I need you to make me a cup of coffee right now. But I know, and she would do it.
Ooh, I'd be grumbling the whole time though.
But you would do it because your submissive side, you would want to serve. But I also know the end result is that takes you away from your work. It interrupts your flow of thought. And it means a 15-hour day could potentially be a 16-hour or longer day.
Very true.
So, you know, I try to do that. Even myself, I'll go out into the shop and I'll have these ideas rolling around in my head, and I get so focused on what I'm doing and getting this done and you know, creating a new piece. And yeah, it's not that we are, you know, upset at each other or fussing with one another. It's just that it's easy to get wrapped up in just doing the everyday stuff.
Exactly. And I think that it goes back to one of the typical kind of myths of DS, where and we create these myths and stereotypes for ourselves, because think back to the beginning of a DS relationship, all that new relationship energy. You're so into each other. You can't think about anybody but your partner. You're like,
right?
I will serve him for all time. And then like 2 months passes, and I'm like, actually, yeah. I'm going to need him to get his own cup of coffee. I love you. As he's drinking the coffee I made for him.
That's right.
So there is, part of it is the way we feel in the beginning of a relationship when everything is perfect and good, and we're both putting in 100% effort in the DS side, because you got to figure out what works. It's exciting. It's new. It's kinky. It's fun. And you're learning something together and you're growing together. And there's all these factors that go into why it is just so intense, not just new relationship energy, which is totally a powerful thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But there comes that point when you've gotten through that and gotten past that, and you're into routines and you're into just the daily part of living. And that doesn't even mean you're living together and married. You could still be long distance, or you could still be dating and just kind of get together when you can, kind of thing. And it still happens. By just nature of being human, we're creatures of habit.
Right.
So what ends up happening is there's this myth or this stereotype that we put into our head that if you're not 100% into your partner, dom or sub, doesn't really matter, then clearly there's something wrong with the relationship. Oh gosh, I got busy and for 5 minutes forgot I was submissive. Well, okay, that's not a reason to hit a panic button.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's just called you're living your life. The reasons to hit the panic button are when you are faced with the, oh, here's your opportunity to do this submissive thing or this dominant thing. How does it make you feel? How does it make you feel right. to do it in general? And how does it make you feel to do it for your that specific partner? But just because you got caught up in some other aspect of your life and kind of let that part sort of fall down a little bit, as long as it you aren't the relationship's not broken, as long as you haven't broken trust, as long as you haven't broken consent, right. as long as you haven't done anything to, like, irreparably harm the relationship, it's just a natural part of the ebb and flow. But complacency, and the thing that stuck out to me with this, especially with the specific message we got, and then when you and I just sort of started talking about it in general outside of that one set of circumstances, is complacency will absolutely kill a relationship if you're not careful.
If you're not careful and you let it go on too long, absolutely. A good example, what happened with us a while back, when you were working on your big project.
Is that big project 1, 2,
yeah,
or 3?
I know. The biggest of the big projects.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, that one.
Okay.
That one was hell.
Yes, it was. So I got into a habit, you know, like I said, there, you know, when she's working a 15-hour day like she did yesterday, I would just kind of step back and leave her be. And I got into that habit during that project. And I pretty much stepped back from asking you for anything. And a number of times she would find me doing something and she would like be like,
"What the hell are you doing?"
Hi, yeah.
I was offended.
I'm your submissive baby girl. I should be doing that for you. And I was kind of like, "Well, yeah, okay."
I know, and I hate that.
Right. And you know, this went on for a little while, and you made the comment several more times, and
I'm anything if not subtle.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So then what happened was I went to her one time and I was like, "Baby girl, I need you to do this for me."
I remember this. You're going to make me relive this.
Yes,
for the rest
I am.
Of our lives.
And she was sitting at her desk and her head just popped up like a meerkat. And she was like, "What do you mean I have to do this right now? I am busy doing this and I can't just jump up and do this right now."
I'm not going to pretend that was not pretty much what happened.
That was not your best moment.
That was not my best moment. That was
you know,
not my best moment.
So, you know, what came from that was we kind of sat down and we had to have a talk. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Okay, baby girl, which is it? You are my submissive baby girl who says that you should be doing these things for me. And I haven't been asking you to. Then when I do ask you to, I get an explosion."
And that's when I pointed out his timing sucked.
Ah, see?
But see, that was part of the discussion because then
right.
we did sort of learn the parameters of, if my head is buried in a computer, that is not the time to ask me for jack shit.
Right, because I asked you, I said, "Well, when will the submissive flag be raised? How will I know?"
And I think I said, can I finish this project first? But see, and it's not that we have some sort of magic trick for not letting it happen or for getting out of it. It goes back to the absolute basics of everything that is centered around not just DS, but BDSM in general. We have to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I know, because I'm a huge lurker online and I just read what people say and I don't actually interject into conversations. I'm just observing because I'm nosy. I know that this is something that happens to people where what tends to happen, I don't know if that's even accurate. The ones that get talked about the most are where both one side got complacent or got, lack of a better term, got lazy and let themselves sort of get swept up in other things that were going on, kind of took the other partner for granted thinking, and I don't think it's not a willful thing, but they basically, they'll be there. And
right.
they get so wrapped up. And so one partner for a while is kind of chasing the other going, hey, we're supposed to be doing this. If you get rebuffed enough times or told, yeah, later, eventually you too will go and find, you know, other things to occupy your time, or you'll let yourself get busy with other things.
Right.
And what happens is both partners eventually, regardless of who started it, both partners find that there's this kind of distance between them. Sometimes it's just in one aspect of their relationship. Sometimes maybe it's the DS. Sometimes it's sex. Sometimes it's like one part of the relationship that one or both sides took for granted, thinking it was always going to be there. And at a certain point, and sometimes it's months and even years later, one of you kind of looks up and goes, how the hell did we get here? And I think it's very easy to feel helpless at
that point.
Watching
days go by.
Right. It's easy to feel helpless that, oh, well, all this time has passed and nobody's done anything about it and it hasn't just magically fixed itself, so it's unfixable. And that's not true either.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there has to be the will from both sides to want to fix it.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, you can't do it unless both parties are willing.
Right, but it is as simple and as difficult as starting the conversation and continuing to have conversations and saying, these conversations are important to me. So maybe we can't have them, you know, every single day, because not everybody wants to have these kind of deep relationship heavy conversations every day, but
right.
We need to have them. And I, you know, whichever side it is, whether it's S or D, it doesn't matter. Whether you've gotten so far from your DS, you don't even know that you would call yourself dominant or submissive anymore, at least not in that relationship. It all starts with a conversation, and there's a lot of different ways that can go, I would imagine, because it also right. does depend on what's going on with your life,
mm-hmm.
what caused that sort of complacency and that sort of relaxing of everything to the point that you don't even see it anymore. You're not even sure you have it anymore. So there's a lot of factors in there, but it always comes back to a conversation. You know, it always, you always start there. You can't, no little relationship fairy is coming in to magically fix your relationship.
Poof.
Right. With their little magic wand and their, you know, kinky halter and whatever. It's just, you know, or a heart. It's just not happening. You have to do the work. And is it easier if you catch it when it's been going on for a week or 6 weeks or 2 months? Of course it is easier than if we're 5 and 10 years down the road.
Right. Because you the longer it goes on, the more myopic you become.
Absolutely. And of course, the way you talk about those things is going to be important too, because if the other partner who you're approaching and you're saying, hey, you remember when we used to do this thing and we haven't done this thing and what can we do about that? If for any reason, either they harbor guilt over it or they feel, rightly or wrongly, their perception is that they are somehow being attacked or judged, then there's a good chance they're going to shut down and you're not going to get very far. So that doesn't mean you don't have the conversation. It just means that you have to be aware that that can happen and sort of modulate your tone based on how they're responding. So if you come in with guns blazing of, why the fuck haven't you dominated me for 6 fucking years? You're not getting anywhere. I'm just telling you.
No, you're not. Because one thing you got to understand, you know, even if you're the one bringing it up, are your feelings in regards to the situation valid? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, your partner's feelings are valid as well.
And what's funny is sometimes what looks like complacency, oh, we just got lazy, oh, we just decided it didn't matter right then, and then we let it go. Sometimes that's what it looks like. And if you can get to the point where you're both having really serious, honest conversations with one another, sometimes you find that it was something else. You know, sometimes you find it was, oh God, I got scared. I wasn't sure this was the right thing to do, or especially, and I don't know if it's because I'm paying attention more or because more dominance, especially male dominance, male identifying dominance, are talking about it more, but I am seeing and hearing more and more dominance say things like, I'm so afraid this is wrong. I'm so afraid that what I'm doing is hurting this other person. I'm so afraid that there's something wrong with me because I want, you know, society is telling me that this is abusive, controlling behavior, but this is what I want. And it's good to hear more of those voices admitting that they have those fears, because you can't deal with them if nobody's talking about them. But I think that gets forgotten from a submissive perspective. especially once we have sort of decided a person is our dominant. Right or wrong, we can easily get the rose-colored glasses of how everything they do is perfect and everything's fine and they're perfectly strong and they're perfectly capable. And sometimes we forget that you have your own insecurities and you have your own fears and your own worries. And those things...
Well, let's face it. As a dominant, being the one ultimately in charge that makes the final decision, nothing is ever perfect, okay? So in the back of your mind, at least my mind, many times it's like, is this the right decision?
Mm.
All right. Is this the right thing to do? Let's face, I love you.
I love you too.
Okay. You are my wife, my lover, my friend, in addition to my submissive and my masochist.
Mm-hmm.
So, what we do, whether it's being sadistic and take, doing spanking, you paddling, flogging, mind fucks. Okay. Any of those things, there is the potential for harm. And the last thing you want to do is break what you love. So yeah, there is always a niggling little doubt. That's why it's so important to be informed and to be aware of what you're doing and to learn as much as you can, because you don't want to go down that path. You don't want that to happen.
Well, and that's also the reason why in any situation, a dominant should always, in whatever...
It's warm in here now.
Because you went on a rant. He had to unzip his jacket, y'all. But that's yet another good reason why it's important to, in whatever sexy way you do it, to continue to gain consent throughout a scene, too.
Sure.
I mean, obviously... consent at the beginning is very important. Consent in the middle, especially if you're about to shift directions, mm-hmm. is very important. All this stuff is important. But it's more than just the, okay, I know it's okay if I move forward. I can imagine when you lean forward and say something all sexy, that basically means I can't do it, y'all. I'm not dominant. That's his job. But it basically, what he's essentially asking is this good for you? Can I keep going? In whatever sexy way he asks, and it's always in a sexy way, I would imagine that gives you some reassurance too.
Yes, it does.
Because then you know, okay, I'm on the right track and this thing is
sure.
is good. Because quite frankly, depending on the kinky fuckery you're doing, sometimes it does sound like you're killing another human being.
Yeah.
And if you're not sure or you're not used to them yet, yeah, you might have to go, is this the right thing to do? I'm not sure. So there's a lot of reasons why complacency occurs, or why something looks like the other person just got lazy and decided they didn't want to do it anymore, and they got so right. relaxed that they decided it didn't matter. Sometimes it's not that at all. There can be, I off the top of my head, I'm coming up with all kinds of reasons. There can be health reasons. There can be job stress reasons, financial stress reasons. There can be mm-hmm. mental health reasons. There can be all kinds of reasons that aren't what we might, on the other side of it, perceive as, oh, they just don't care anymore. Oh, this just isn't important to them. Mm-hmm. Those are the stories we tell ourselves.
Right.
Those are the things, when we're trying to make sense of this, we think, okay, I understand why it happened for a week. This thing was going on, this project at work, this, mm-hmm. They were sick, there was this, there was that. But once you get past that very obvious immediate reason, and you're 6 months out, 5 years out, it's harder to hold on to what that original reason was. And I totally get why that would be, because you're thinking, well, that reason was not permanent. So there must be another reason. And some people will immediately go for the, it was me, there's something wrong with me, they don't love me anymore. And other people are going to go for the, oh, they just don't care about this anymore. They don't want this anymore. But what ultimately, whatever reason you're telling yourself why your partner appears to have become complacent, mm-hmm. what you're not doing is having a conversation yeah. with your partner.
A good example of this too is your shoulder, your pinched nerve.
Mm, yes.
Okay. When that reared its ugly head, I immediately backed off. Mm-hmm. All right. I wasn't, at night when we go to bed, I wasn't, spanking you as hard, if at all, in some cases. And, even backed off on sex.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's very sad.
It was. And my main focus became doing whatever I could to help you get better. Mm-hmm. All right. And I got so caught up in that cycle, right?
Yeah.
You kind of had to say to me at one point, Daddy.
What I said to him was, are you ever going to fuck me again? And then later, yeah. I think I said, are we ever going to fuck again? Because I'm, can we fuck again? I was not subtle.
No, you weren't. But I needed that. Yes. To snap me out of that mindset, because I had gotten into that protector caregiver role with sure. you, and it kind of became the norm for that time. So right. I kind of need, oh yeah, we're good. We're good to go.
She's got asking green, for sex. It must be
green,
okay.
Green flag here. Okay.
But see, and that's the thing. That's how I think some of these things start. Something happens and you have to shift. Okay. And you have to do things a little bit different, and you have to set aside what you would normally do and just change habits for even a short amount of time. And then what can happen, especially because I've noticed with our life, and I know it's true with everybody else, one thing happens. Okay, somebody gets sick. And then right as you think, okay, I can see light at the end of the tunnel, something else happens and oh.
The next wave crashes on
right.
the shore.
And so you almost never feel like you can catch your breath, and you keep thinking, okay, I know why we're not having the kinky fuckery now because this thing. Oh, shit. I know why we're not having the kinky fuckery yeah. now because of this second thing. And it can go like that in a cycle for a while.
It snowballs.
Absolutely. And by the time you get out of it, if... And all it takes really is one of you. And it's... I don't mean like decide who it's going to be. But it really just takes one of you in the relationship having that moment in the middle of the chaos and going, what? Wait. Wait, he hasn't fucked me in like 2 weeks. What the fuck? It's not always.
What the fuck
did he fuck? I know, pretty much. And the next morning, I got fucked. It was great. Moral of the story. But, you know, we talk about communication, and I know that what a lot of people will have in their head is, oh, we're going to need to go somewhere quiet and talk for, you know, some soul searching communication for like 2 hours to sort this out. And yes, sometimes that is what has to happen. Right. That is very true. But quite frankly, communication is, depending on the dynamic you have with your partner and who's the one speaking and all that, sometimes it's a baby girl saying, are you going to fuck me anytime soon? You know what? I think it was perfectly clear communication right there.
Yep.
Neither of us was in any doubt of what I wanted, what I meant, what I expected. And he responded. And he actually never responded with, why, yes, we shall have sex tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. What he did is we went to bed, we cuddled, it was fine. I had said what I needed to say. And I have been well-trained as a submissive to know that I say it and then I leave it with you. And
right.
If it's going to happen, it'll happen. And the next morning before the sun fucking came up, I was getting fucked. And I knew I had been hurt. He didn't have to come back and have this long, in-depth, you know, soul-searching conversation with me about how he had not fucked me and now he was going to fuck me.
No, I was like, okay, we're out the gate here.
Right, I got a green light. We're good. So there's a lot of levels of communication. And depending on where you're at in the, oh, shit, something's not right with us, we're not how we normally are, and I don't yeah. like it. Because sometimes you might not be how you normally are and be thinking, oh, this is kind of nice, you know? That's a different conversation to have, yeah. but that can happen. So, it, you know, yeah, maybe it's only been going on a couple weeks and it's not actually a problem right now. It's a minor annoyance. It's much easier to just say something flippant or say something quick and have the other person go, oh yeah, that's right. Now, the longer you get from that point, you know, if it had been 2 months, a year, oh God, I can't imagine a year without sex. I don't want to imagine a year without sex. We would certainly have a very flexible definition of sex if that's yeah. when it happened, but I know it happens. Then it's a different kind of conversation, and it's not necessarily something, you know, snarky or sarcastic or jokey. Sometimes it is this really earnest conversation. And sometimes, and I'm at this point, I'm speaking to the submissives here because I won't speak for a dominant at all. I'm not that stupid. So let's use the example of sex, right? Or kinky fuckery. It doesn't even have to be sex. It could just be the kinky thing that you both liked. And it's been ages since you did it. And you don't have a specific reason. It wasn't injury. It wasn't illness. It was just everything got busy. And now you just don't do it anymore. And you don't talk about it. And I know that you're thinking, well, oh, my dominant hasn't said anything, so clearly they don't care. And there's a good chance your dominant's thinking, well, my submissive hasn't said anything, so clearly they don't care. You see how this can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's been ages and ages and ages. And whatever the original reason was why you couldn't for a while, that reason's long gone. And now you don't even know why. You just know you don't, right?
Right.
Okay, so submissives, I'm going to ask you to step a little bit outside of your comfort zone here, because if you're a submissive like me, this will like really like throw you off, and you might whine at me, and it is okay. It's fine. We're going to make it through this. I want you to initiate contact. I want you to initiate it with your partner. If there's a thing you're not fucking doing anymore and you want it, go initiate it. Don't demand it, because, well, unless that's y'all's thing, teach their own. But let your partner know, hey, you haven't pulled the paddles out in a while. You know, bend over naked for him. Yeah. It depends on your partner. Like, some partners can handle subtle, well, and some partners need, like, they need to be told.
They need to be hit upside the head.
Right. So you know your partner. But if you are submissive, and yes, I know for many of you, you want them to initiate you. It's weirder. It's harder. It's not your favorite thing to be the one to start it. But if we want to, like, I mean, let's rethink.
Well, if you came to me and said, Daddy, is there any reason why you haven't had the floggers out for a while? Is different from saying, Daddy, pull out the damn floggers and...
That's not what I'm talking about either. What I mean is lay them out. Get naked. Bend your ass over the bed and go, you know what I'd really like? Yeah, I mean, because it depends on your dynamic. I would not truly demand. I mean, even when I asked when you were going to have fuck me again, it was a question of, are we going to do this? It was not a demand.
Right.
Because that's how you and I communicate. But what I'm saying is submissives need to kind of might need to. It's not a blanket thing, but you might want to step outside your comfort zone a little bit and initiate it. Okay. Ask. Tell them, this is what I would really like. I would so kill for, and then fill in the blank with your favorite kinky fuckery. Help make it happen. So I know I'm very fortunate, I'm aware of this, that I can say, hey, Daddy, I would really like this thing if you are feeling up for this thing, right? And then I don't have to do anything else until you tell me to do something, okay? But there's a chance that that's not somebody's dynamic, or if it's gone for so long, that even they, you know, the dominant partner might be like, this is like riding a bicycle. Am I going to remember how to do this? You know, they have their own insecurities to deal with. So all I'm saying is, in whatever way works for your personality and in your relationship and in your old dynamic or your current dynamic, if the dynamic is still there, but not maybe the kinky fuckery, initiate it. And what the way I like to look at it, and it's a little bit of like, I don't want to call it a mind fuck, because it's not a mind fuck, but it's a way of rethinking it, okay? Think of it this way. You are not demanding the kinky fuckery, and as long as you're not actually physically saying, give me the fucking kinky fuckery, because that is a demand. What you're doing is serving in a different way. You are serving in a different way. You are letting your dominant know that you want this thing that maybe they didn't know you wanted anymore. And you are doing your part to facilitate it actually happening. You know, hey, I'll go get the toys out. Hey, I've laid them out. Hey, why don't we try it this way? And some people would want to call that topping from the bottom. Topping from the bottom is, if you don't do this for me, you're not getting what you want. That to me would be topping from the bottom. I'm not advocating for topping from the bottom. Putting all of the pieces in place to make it super crazy easy for your partner to give you what you want, I'm going to call that serving. Because you... I am. On the best end of the scale, is, you know, everything's a spectrum. On the most optimistic side of the spectrum, that's serving. Because it's about expectations. So I'll use myself as an example. If for some odd reason, as is the case, it's been a long time since you've used the floggers on me, okay? Right. So let's say you and I were not at the space we're at right now where I could just throw out a snarky question and know that within a certain some amount of time, I'm going to get what I've asked for. But we've gotten this distance between us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hopefully going to say, hey, Daddy, you haven't really flogged me in a while. I would love it if you would. Now, I'm going to have to base what I do next on your reaction. If you are enthusiastic but a little, like, hesitant, or you let yourself get busy, and sometimes, y'all, let's be real with each other, ourselves and each other. Sometimes we let ourselves get busy.
True.
We don't make something else a priority. If you let yourself get busy and you were enthusiastic, but you weren't putting in the effort, as you're submissive, and this is just how I see it, I'm going to now make it super easy for you, because I'm going to interpret, rightly or wrongly, that either you're having a mental block where you're not quite ready and you're not sure, or you're mm-hmm. insecure, or you really are super busy and, ooh, I can be a good girl who helps by laying out the floggers or giving you a selection. Ultimately, the choice is always still yours from my perspective as a submissive. So I might put all the pieces in play. Like, I might lay out 5 floggers. I might get naked and bend over the bed, right? And go, you know, this is a great time. We got 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be forever. Won't this be fun? If you choose to say yes to that, at that point, if I were to start directing, well, I think you should use this flogger, Daddy, that's topping from the bottom.
True.
But if I say, hey, I've gotten the space ready. All you have to do is show up and do whatever the hell it is you want. Can we go do it? I've served you. And at that point, I'm out of the control part.
Right.
And you are now making the decisions of what happens next. But I've put everything in place, and I'm going to call that serving. And I don't care if nobody agrees with me.
in a sense, it's just like you as a submissive, you very rarely initiate sex.
Mm, yeah.
Okay. And there are times you do.
Mm-hmm. Well, kind of.
Well, kind of, to a certain extent. But I have learned your
tells. My tells, yeah.
Okay. And I also know that your tells only go so far.
Yeah, because then I'm lost. I'm so confused.
And then it ends, and you initiate, let me know that you're interested, and then it's up to me whether to move forward and
right.
take control.
And if you don't move forward, I'll whine until you do. I have that as a tell. there's a bit of that.
Yeah, and when you whine, sometimes you get...
oh, I know.
Yeah.
Because the sadist comes out.
Uh-huh.
I know. Anyway.
But... That's all part of it. You know, it's not topping from the bottom, because it's you letting your feelings be known, and then it's my decision what to do with it.
And I think that's the key part in this. If you're, from a submissive perspective, if you see that there's something not right in your relationship, and it for any number of reasons, especially if there's been any amount of time that you've just been waiting and waiting, you're like, what the hell's going on around here? It's very easy to tell yourself, oh, well, if I initiate, I'm trying to control the situation. If I initiate, I'm topping from the bottom. If I tell my partner what I want, I'm topping from the bottom. First of all, telling your partner what you want is never topping from the bottom. It's what you do. It's what your expectations are, how you say it, and then how you react based on what happens after you tell your partner.
Right.
So I can tell you, John Brownstone, anything I need to. The submissive act is in then sitting like almost on my hands patiently, which is not very patiently, and waiting for you to decide what to do with that information. Now, as an independent human being who is autonomous, if I am not happy with the way you decided to go with that, later, it's time to talk about it. Hey, Daddy, yeah, you know how I said please beat my ass and then what you do is brush my hair? That was lovely, but... how do I get us to the point where you're beating my ass, right? Like, but am I the type of person, just in general, who's going to say in the middle of the scene, what the fuck are you doing? No, because to me that would be topping from the bottom. You're doing what you chose to do, and I can either withdraw my consent from the scene, or I can consent to it because I'm enjoying it, even if it's not what I asked for. Those are other different decisions that I have to make. But putting everything into place to make the thing you want to happen in your relationship easy or possible isn't topping from the bottom. Deciding that you don't like your partner's decision, telling them what they should be doing, and not submitting but not also withdrawing your consent, Because that's the proper way to do it. If you don't like the direction that your dominant took a scene or a thing you asked them to do, you're going to get much further if you go, I'm going to safe word out of this because this is not what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then have that as a separate conversation. So yeah, topping from the bottom is, we could do a whole damn episode on topping
just
from
on
the bottom.
That, right.
And I have to go in the archive. If we have not, it needs to go on the list because it's a big topic.
It is.
But so that's what I'm saying. If you are in this point where both of you got complacent and one of you is like, wait, this is wrong, and that one of you is a submissive, it's okay to make it easy for your dominant to dominate you. It's okay to put the things in place and go, here, I laid this out for you. Whatever it is, y'all. It doesn't even have to be sex or kinky. I've put everything in place for you. If you choose to use it, it's there for you to do. I want us to get back to what we were doing before. At that point, you then leave it to the dominant partner to decide what they want to do and if they want to take up control again. And if they do, great, then you move forward from there. And if they do not, then that is a completely separate conversation that you have to have. But whether it's been 2 weeks of no sex, I'm not bitter. Thankfully, we're out of that.
Thankfully, your shoulder's better.
Well, it's a little twingy, but I'll suffer through. Or it's 2 or 5 years of you haven't done your DS thing. You love one another, or you're happy with each other to a certain extent, but the thing that was like really setting you on fire a few years ago is not happening at all anymore.
Right.
The very first step, however you handle it after this point, the very first step is always communication. It's always, always, always,
right.
You have to have a conversation. You have to be willing to say to the other partner, hey, we're not doing things that we used to do, and I want it to be different. I want it to be better again. I want to get back to that. And that's another thing. If it has been several years, you're going to have a picture in your mind of what it was like. And that's going to be really hazy with time and memory and fondness, hopefully. You might actually find that you can't get back to what you had 2 years ago, but you can make something brand new right now.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I have said a number of times, you know, like with the questions from 30 days of DS, you know, the dominant I am today is not the dominant I was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. I'm a different person from that. I have changed. I have grown. You know, when you answer questions like that, it's important to know who you are,
and you
first
might,
and foremost.
And you might have to go on a journey of self-discovery to figure it out again.
Right.
You might have to if
right.
it's been so long.
And I mean, you know, you may have answered questions like that 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You may need to sit down and re-answer those questions because you may find your answers have changed.
Right.
All right.
And that's the thing. If you are coming back after a really long break, like long, y'all, I don't mean like a couple of weeks. I mean long time, whether it's DS or something kinky or something specific. If you're both willing, and hopefully you both are, you might want to just start from scratch as if it's brand new to you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, get yourself a checklist. Take one of those BDSM tests. I think the website BDSMtest.org still works.
I think so.
If it does, we'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it might be like just like you're brand new and you just started yesterday, and that's okay too. What really matters is that you're willing to try again, and that's the question that only you guys can kind of
yes, it still works.
BDSMtest.org. Only you guys can decide that. But the very first step, as always, is you have to talk about it. Always, always,
true.
Always.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say about that? It's kind of a complex topic, and it's
kind of not.
So to me, it's complex because everybody's situation is going to be completely
unique. Sure.
So what the thing is that whatever it is you're missing from your DS relationship is going to be unique from relationship to relationship. What caused the complacency is going to be different. How you feel about the complacency.
Right.
It's all like, there's no way to go, oh, these five things. No, doesn't work that way. But the first step is always communication. And if every other part of your relationship is mostly good, then it may not be as scary or nerve-wracking as you might think it is. It might just be, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. Oh, that's right. Not everybody drinks coffee. Let's go have breakfast. What? I know. Shh, it's okay. It's okay. You didn't hear me say that. Everybody has coffee, Daddy. Everybody has coffee. Let's go get breakfast. Let's go get lunch. Let's go someplace quiet without the children around, or put the work down and get away from work for whatever it is, and just start from a place of, we used to do this and I miss it. And can we get something like that back again? Because remember, especially if it's been a long time, you might not get, let me just say it again, you might not get exactly back what you had. But if what you're trying to get back to is a feeling you had, you can get that feeling again.
You can recapture that in a new way.
Exactly.
Yep.
So.
All right.
Did we do the thing?
I think we did the thing.
We did the thing!
Wow.
It's our last thing for 2 weeks.
Last thing for 2 weeks.
But there is a bonus section.
Yes.
Because how could we go away for 2 weeks and not have a bonus section? Know. That would be so wrong.
All right. Well, let's start the bonus section.
Okay.
Are we good?
Vaguely.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next. And we'll see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Can I? Please.
Girl?
Please. Please think of the crickets.
Ask nicely, girl.
Please, Daddy, can I talk to the crickets?
Yes.
Thank you. I have a thing I need to do, and I really hope he listens to the bonus section. Because I don't know. I know he listens to the show, but I don't know if he listens to the bonus section. Lube. I have not said the word lube in a long time.
And I
I know. See what happens when you lurk on Twitter? You see all kinds of conversations. See,
I was asked about that too, and unfortunately, it slipped my mind.
Oh my God. Did you make a lube pun? What? Oh my God. Oh my God. My brain hurts. Oh my God. My brain hurts. My brain hurts. Actually, I am so grateful for our lube. We use the butters. We love the butters.
Yes.
I'm grateful for our lube because we have been having more sex recently. Thank you, God. I'm like, oh, my shoulder hurts. I will suffer the fuck through. Please, can we just have some sex? And a couple of times, you haven't done any warm-up, and I'm okay with that. As long as you lube up, I don't, you know, warm-up is not necessary. And you can hear, I can hear him rustling in the nightstand. And then, because it's a twist cap, I hear the click of the twist cap. And then there's this sucking sound. As he puts it over his cock like a little football helmet, dips his cock in. He can't leave it there. That would be difficult. But he just, you know, just dips his cock in. And then he'd like throw, I don't know what he does after that. Because at that point, it's like Pavlov's dog. I reacted because I've heard all the signs. And that is why the Butters lube is my favorite lube. There, I did it. It's my friend Altfacts Big Lie on Twitter.
Yep.
You're welcome. And for anybody else who's like, fuck, she hasn't said lube in a while, you're welcome
too. You're right, you
haven't. And if you are relatively new to the show,
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not even apologizing for that one. So we did get mail this week, and we got a letter, and I had the letter, and where did I put the letter is underneath the treasures that came.
Yes.
So in our letter, a whole bunch of stickers.
Yes.
So many stickers. There are feet stickers. There's peace symbol stickers. There's great job, nicely done. The affirmation
plus,
stickers. Yep. And then there are stickers that are like little speech bubbles or thought bubbles.
Yep.
That,
and you can fill in yourself.
Exactly. So somehow I imagine all kinds of kinky things being written on stickers. But our stickers came from our wonderful, wonderful listener. And I just want to be able to say this because it's not a name you get to say very often.
No, it's not.
I'm going to give her Fet name.
Okay.
This is a name this is a word I would usually write, not say. So I'm blushing. Master's cunt.
Mm-hmm.
I love the word cunt. I used to hate the word cunt. I love the word cunt. But it's all about context. And
true.
That's all I'm going to say about that because there's been controversy over that word. I'm going to stay out of that. So she sent a lovely letter, proof that it doesn't have to be a postcard. It can be a letter. I take letters, especially if there are stickers in them. Please, I take letters any day. And she is a Cricut, so hopefully she is getting to listen to this episode fairly recently after it comes out. Because she says, y'all have taught me so much about not only the lifestyle, but myself. And that she's recently met somebody well-known in her local community, has a solid reputation. That's always good.
Yes.
And says she thinks she's finally met a true gentleman. And those people are priceless because, unfortunately, you gentleman types are kind of a rare breed. So we have to celebrate you when we find you.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
That is kind of sad. But I have, you know, I have to say, the more and more we've gotten into the, not just our local community, but our online community, I have come across many, many gentlemen.
Yes.
But because y'all are usually so few and far between, you're all snapped up the moment we find you. Because we're not stupid. So I guess I should, it's hard, this is a podcast, so people can't see this, but I should probably share my other news.
Take some pictures and put it on.
Oh, no, I'm going to take pictures of the Instagram of the stickers. Yes, yeah. I have to do that today. We're recording on Thursday, y'all. So by the time you hear this episode, hopefully, if you don't follow us on Instagram yet, you will, and you'll be able to see the pictures. So yes, you will get to see the stickers. But I have other news.
Oh?
That people can't see unless we do take a picture, and I'm not sure if we will. Maybe we will.
Maybe.
I did a thing. I did a thing today.
You did do a thing. Yeah, today.
Today, Thursday.
Yeah.
Day of recording.
Right.
It's at the hair place for 2.5 fucking hours. Well, I always get my hair colored. It's a purpley, plummy, you know, color. That's fine. If you've ever seen a single video we've ever done, even the ones on YouTube, then you know what color my hair is. That does not change. I love that color. I've chopped it all off.
Yes.
It's not quite a pixie cut because I have long pieces in the front that don't fit the pixie thing. Well, but the back is definitely a pixie cut.
Look at me. I'm looking at me.
I'm looking at you.
Now see the two long pieces in the front?
Oh, God, no, don't pull them. Don't pull them. Better than pigtails, huh?
One on each side, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go talk to my hairdresser person to have her cut that shit off.
I'm going to call her and tell her, when you come in, have them cut off? No.
But it is very short, but there is plenty for you to grab onto, which was and here's how far we've come in the evolution of our time together. Okay, we've known one another since very late 2012. We've been together as a couple since 2013. We've been married since 2017. We've lived together since 2014.
Right.
When I met you, I like my submissives to have long hair. And I was like, well, that's fine. I've been growing my hair out for 6 months. No big deal. So I was like, okay. It wasn't a thought I had to have our conversation or point of negotiation. I was like, okay, he wants long hair. I have long hair. We're good. And then I let it get really long.
You did.
And you lived with a woman for the first time in many years, obviously, with long hair. Thick, long hair that I shed worse than a cat.
Yeah.
And you lived with that. Yeah. And experienced with that.
Yeah.
Hair just everywhere.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. And so when I came to you a couple years ago and said, I would like to get my hair cut shoulder length, you were like, how short? And I had to show, y'all, I almost had to take a picture and get a ruler and be like, it'll be just down to here. Still plenty of freaking hair. He okayed it. He said, okay. Then I said, I think I need this a little bit shorter, but don't worry, there'll be plenty for you to pull. And it was above my shoulders, below my chin, but definitely above my shoulder. Did not touch my shoulder. That was a couple years later. He okayed it. A week ago, I get a wild hair from my ass and I'm like, I want short hair. I want a pixie cut. This is not quite a pixie cut, but close. I want a pixie cut. And you're like, as long as I got enough hair to pull.
Grab onto.
I don't care. And I'm like, man, how far we have come. See, living with a long-haired person is different than fantasizing about a long-haired person.
Well, you know, it's funny because the other day I was going through some old photos. Mm-hmm. And I came across a picture of you when your hair was very long.
Oh, God, it doesn't even look right on me. I don't even like
the
look.
And, you know, it doesn't. You know, mm-hmm. I've gotten used to you with the shorter hair, and seeing the picture of you with the long hair, it just wasn't right, yeah.
And my hair is extremely thick, but when it grows out, it gets very flat. It's very straight. It gets very flat. It gets very straight, and then it just, it looks stringy, so it's not fun. So anyway, yes, now I have short hair.
Yeah.
And so there we are. Short hair.
Things have been crazy this week for us.
I know. And I actually am going to have to let you finish up the episode. I've got to go.
I know.
I have a parent-teacher conference.
You do.
So,
okay.
Love everybody.
Yep.
Hopefully, yeah, we'll definitely take pictures of the stickers. Maybe we'll get a picture of my hair.
We'll get that. If you want, if you don't want to show your face, maybe I'll take a picture from the back or side
or
something.
We'll figure it out. And if you're going to Eroticon, you'll definitely get to see it.
That's true. And, you know, with that, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Love you. Bye.
It's been a hectic week. We're finalizing all our stuff to get ready to go to Eroticon. And, we're excited. We're looking forward to it. So, we're doing a three-step process to get there. We're leaving Florida. Love you, baby girl.
Love you too, Dad.
Drive safe. And I don't have to go get the boys, right?
No, because I'm going to the parent-teacher conference.
Yay, you.
They will make me take the children with me.
Woohoo! So anyway, we're leaving Florida to go to Mississippi, drop off the boys, then we're going to New Orleans, then we're going to London. So it's a bit hectic. And we're doing stuff. I took the car in for an oil change for the trip, and we still have some last-minute shopping to do. So it's getting crazy, but we're excited. We're looking forward to it, and meeting all these fellow bloggers and podcasters and other people in London. We're excited. So anyway, thank you all for being here with us. We love you all, and we're looking forward to our little break here, but we're looking forward to being back in 2 weeks, so we'll see you soon. We love you all. Thank you so much. Take care.